Slam Productions.
Verily, all praise is due to the Almighty Lord. We praise Him, we seek His aid, His help. We beseech forgiveness to Him. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from our evil souls and our evil actions. He whom Allah Ta'ala guides is rightly guided, and he whom Allah Ta'ala misguides can never ever be guided. I bear witness without any compulsion that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah Ta'ala. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the slave, is the messenger of Allah. May the peace and blessings of Allah Ta'ala be upon him, his family, his companions, and every single one that follow their footsteps to the last day. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fatiha, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Guide us to the straight path, the path on whom you have favored, not those who have earned your anger, nor those who have went astray, misguided themselves. We left you last time saying that the Jews and Christians are without a doubt misguided. Both of them are misguided, and both of them have earned Allah's anger. But here, as we see, the wrath of Allah Ta'ala is specifically on the Jews in Surah Al-Fatiha. Why? Even though that the Christians do share this wrath with them, but here the Jews deliberately came with falsehood. And they knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of Islam and the last messenger, but they rejected him. So the best thing that befitted their description was غير المغضوب عليهم, those that earned the wrath of Allah. And they were the Jews. But why did they receive Allah's wrath? We must understand, because every single day at least 20 times you recite this verse. You're asking Allah Ta'ala to keep you away from those people who earned your wrath, your anger. So what did they do? What was their problem? What was the reason for them to earn this wrath, this anger of Allah Ta'ala, وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ? They knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of Islam, is the last messenger, but they rejected him. Clear evidence proves this. Safiyyah bint Huyay, who was the mother, or who is the mother of the believers, the wife of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the daughter of one of the Jewish leaders of Medina. She mentions that after I embraced Islam, I informed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the first time when the rays of Islam first hit my heart, she says. It was the day that Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions as being the most radiant day that has ever come upon Medina, the day that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Medina. He said that the Ansar, men, children and women, gathered to greet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Cheers of praise to Allah the Almighty filled the earth. Allahu Akbar in every corner of Medina. Amongst the gathering there were two Jewish men, Safiyyah's Jewish father and Safiyyah's Jewish uncle. Safiyyah at that time was only a young girl, but she witnessed, she looked into the darkness and gloom that had enveloped on the father of hers and her uncle when they returned home after they met Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her Jewish uncle asked her Jewish father, is he the one? Is he the prophet that our scriptures talk about? Huyay, with his head down, her Jewish father did not want to answer the question. He said, yes, it is. Then what shall we do? Safiyyah's Jewish uncle asked. He looked him into the eyes and said, till the final day, we shall be his bitterest enemies. عَلَيْهِمْ مَا يَسْتَحَقُّ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Till the final day, we Jews, shall be his bitterest enemies. And as Hoyei mentioned, we are witnessing today. As Hoyei said, the Jews have been the enemies of this Islamic ummah ever since Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began his call to Islam. And their hostility, dear brothers and sisters, will never ever end until the day of resurrection. He fought the Jewish tribe of Bani Qaynuqa' for their treachery, defeated them, expelled them from Medina. Then he fought the Jewish tribe of Bani Nadir for their treachery, defeated them and expelled them from Medina. Then he fought the Jewish tribe of Bani Qurayza for their treachery and betrayal. Then he conquered Khaybar. Then Umar ibn Khattab, this great man, evacuated them entirely from the Arabian Peninsula after their defeat. Their enmity transformed into artful plotting in secret. They were the ones that caused the destruction of the last Khilafah of Islam. And they were the ones that turned the attention of the Christian European nations to fighting Islam. Their hostility continues, and their enmity towards us Muslims and our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emanates from their jealousy, from their envy, because of the transfer of prophethood and messengerhood from the progeny of Ishaq to the progeny of Ismail. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, they started the hostility. They have continued it. And they have never, ever ceased to be hostile. So whoever supposes that the hostility and war between the Muslims and the Jews can be brought to an end by the false, corrupted, secular, so-called peace treaties is absolutely ignorant of Islam. It shows a lack of understanding of this person towards Islam. Garbage. These peace treaties are nothing but for their benefit and no other. They do not want peace with us. Wallahi, they don't. And they have never wanted peace with us. And they will never want peace with us. So these peace treaties that are trying to be implemented, are nothing but things that they are trying to implement in order to benefit themselves with. Another case that strongly supports that the biblical scholars knew very well of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the advent of Islam is the story, the great story of Abdullah ibn Salam. The great story of a Jewish rabbi, scholar, at the advent of Islam, whose name is Abdullah ibn Salam. He was a scholar, a Jewish scholar, rabbi of Medina, highly respected by both the Jews and the people of Yathrib, the people of Medina, for his knowledge of the scriptures and his righteousness. The narrations mention that Abdullah divided his day into three. One third of it divided to the temple where he preached religion. The second part was dedicated to the Torah, which he studied, and the third he spent on his farm. Abdullah, for his research, study in the Torah, he read portions in the Torah of an Arabian prophet and the migration, the prophecy of his migration to Medina, to Yathrib. So when he heard of the appearance of a prophet, he tried to investigate his name, his lineage, and the place of appearance. He mentions that it became evident to me that after I studied the Torah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the prophet whose name and descriptions are mentioned in our prophecies in the scriptures. So he said when he came to Medina, his heart throbbed with joy, exclaiming, Allahu Akbar! Because he knew the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an Arabian prophet, is mentioned in the book. The coming of him to Medina is mentioned in his book, in their books. And this is a rabbi, scholar. So he said, when he came, my heart throbbed with joy, exclaiming, Allahu Akbar! His aunt said, with surprise, Had you heard the coming of Moses ibn Amran, you would never have done more than what you have just did now. He said, "Our aunt, but Muhammad is a brother of Moses, and he is teaching, preaching the same message." She said, "Is he the prophet that you rabbis have been telling us about?" He said, "Yes." Then he rushed outside in search of whom? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pushing his way through the crowd until he saw the face of the last messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah said, "The first thing I heard him say to the people was, 'O people, greet each other with salam. Feed the hungry. Pray at night while people are sleeping, and you will enter paradise in peace.'" He said, "I kept scrutinizing his face, his features, until I was sure that this is not the face of a liar. So I approached him," he said, declaring, "La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah." So I approached him, declaring, "There is none who has the right to be worshipped except Allah the Almighty, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked him in the face and said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Al-Husayn ibn Salam," because his name was Al-Husayn. Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "But Abdullah ibn Salam. He said, "My name is Al-Husayn ibn Salam." Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "But Abdullah ibn Salam." He said, "By Allah, I would not like to be called only by Abdullah." He said, "O Prophet of Allah, the Jews are people of slander and treachery. I would like for you to call upon their leaders. Hide me in a room next to you where I can hear the conversation and ask them about me and what they think about me before you tell them about my embracing of Islam." So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called, exactly like Abdullah mentioned to him, called upon the Jewish leaders. They came to him. He hid Abdullah in a room where he can hear the conversation, and he started inviting the Jewish leaders to Islam. And as we know, the Jewish leaders, you know, they are men of falsehood and corruption and slander. They repeated or responded to him with nothing but argument and debate. So then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought there's no more point in further discussing with them Islam. He said, "What do you think about Ibn Salam?" As you can say, he said Ibn Salam and not Abdullah, because to them he's still Al-Husayn. He did not want to say Al-Husayn because Al-Husayn is no longer his name. "What do you think about Ibn Salam, the son of Salam?" They said, "He is our master, and he is the son of our master. He is our rabbi and scholar, the son of a rabbi and scholar." Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, "Would you embrace Islam if he embraced Islam?" They said, "God forbid that he embrace Islam. He will never do that." Because to them, he was a leader. He was their master. He was their scholar. He was their rabbi. He was one of the most learned out of them. And then at that moment when they said that, he walked out from his hiding place. He said, "O Jews, have fear for Allah in your hearts and accept the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for you certainly know that he is the messenger of Allah, as mentioned in the books that we read. His name and descriptions is mentioned in the books that we read." Then he said, "I bear witness and testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. I believe in him and I trust in him." This is in front of them. They looked at him in amazement. They said, "You are a liar, the son of a liar. And you are the worst one, the son of the worst one. And you are the most ignorant, the son of the most ignorant." And they threw all these false allegations towards him. You know, now it's against him, you see. They can't say he is our master, because a master is going to be followed. Now he's become the biggest liar, the worst of them, and the most ignorant of them. Wallahi, they're the worst, and they're the liars, and they're the... 吃好的用. Then they started throwing all these allegations against him. Until he looked at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Did I not say to you, O Prophet of Allah, that the Jews are people of corruption and slander, people of falsehood and treachery?" And wallahi they are. So here is two proof that affirm, and there's many others, that they knew with certainty that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of Allah and the last messenger. And they came with falsehood deliberately. If we read the history of Islam, Allah Ta'ala saved them of their slavery to Fir'aun. He saved them from the seas and drowned Fir'aun and his army. He selected them to receive food from the sky. He sent to them prophet after prophet from amongst themselves. He sent to them the holy scriptures. He favored them in their time over others. He showed them his signs, his miracles. He gave them good protection. He blessed them with glory. He gave them like he has given no other people of al-alamin. How did they reply to these blessings? How did they reply to these blessings? Why are they al-maghdubi alayhim? We must take heed with this and understand this and keep far away from what they did. They followed only what they wanted to follow. Every time a prophet came to them with that which did not appeal to them, they either just rejected the proof, the truth, and walked away from the prophet, or they rejected the proof and slit the throat of the prophet. كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسَهُمْ فَرِيقًا كَذَّبُوا وَفَرِيقًا يَقْتُلُونَ. Every time a prophet came to them with that which their soul did not desire, a group of them they said they're liars and a group of them they killed. So we must understand, we don't want to fall in the same trap they did. You know, today, if you look at the situation, many Muslims take the matters of Islam, you know, as not being serious, for mockery. And when you advise them or you warn them, they throw at you all these feeble excuses in order to justify their actions and to excuse themselves from obeying Allah and His Messenger. Following that which appeals to them and rejecting that which does not appeal to them. This is the action of the Jews, the Munafiqun. This is why Allah put the wrath on them. Oh, I'm not guided yet, a lot of us say. I'm not guided yet. Allah mahad, Allah yahdina, Allah yahdina. Or the rulings are too difficult. Or, you know, there is a difficult times and everyone's like this. We have to blend in. It's the 20th century today, you know. Just take it easy. Chill out a bit, they say. You know, just relax. Don't be those hardcore people, the extremists in the past. Oh, my heart is pure. I've got a good heart. My intention is sound. Alhamdulillah, I believe. I believe. He believes in the nightclub, in the pub, in the what's the name? Yes, he believes. Oh, a little girl, the age of 15 or 16 or 17 or 18 or even to the 30-year-old. Where's your hijab? Ya ikhti, ya'udhu billah. Oh, I'm still young. I'm not married. I'm afraid that if I wear it now, no one's going to marry me. Oh, what are the people going to say about me? Oh, it doesn't look good on me. Oh, I'm choking. It's too tight. I'm suffocating. The hijab suffocates her. Or you get other people, for example, wallahi ya akhi, my parents put too much pressure on me. Too much pressure, I can't take it. Too much pressure. Oh, my mother puts pressure on me. Oh, my husband puts pressure on me. Oh, my wife puts pressure on me. Oh, my children put pressure on me. Subhanallah, ya khalaqana. Read the Quran. If that's not going to put pressure on you, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Or others, you hear that, oh, I don't want to sort of commit myself to an ongoing commitment. Ongoing commitment. Subhanallah, ya khalaqana. You don't want to commit yourself with Allah by obeying His laws because it's going to be an ongoing commitment, but you want to commit yourself to shaitan with an ongoing commitment? Or others say, really, I'm not interested. خليني هلا من الإسلام. Leave Islam aside. I'm not interested. When are you going to be interested? When you're in that pitch dark hole? Are you going to be interested then? When Munkar and Nakir comes to you, are you going to be interested then? Is that when you're going to be interested? Wallahi, it's too late to be interested then. You're going to say, wish that I was interested. That day, it's too late for you to be interested. So we should take heed and understand that this is what caused the Jews to receive Allah's anger. They only accepted that which appealed to them, and they rejected that which did not appeal to them. Let us not be like that. The commands of Allah is you have to obey it, whether you want to or not. Not whether you want, you like this, you don't like this. It's not like shopping here. You're not a customer to Islam. You're a slave to Allah Ta'ala. You don't go like to a supermarket. Oh, this is alright, I can accept this, I'll take it. This is too hard, I'll leave it. The Jews changed the word of the Almighty Lord. They changed the word of the Almighty Lord by adding, by deleting. They were pounding the truth in order to divert it to what they wanted. وَإِن مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا وَمِنَّ مِنْهُمْ لَفَارِيقًا وَإِن مِنْهُمْ لَفَارِيقًا يَلْمَسُونَ. Who knows the verse? وَإِنَّ مِنْهُمْ لَفَرِيقًا يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَكُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَيَكُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, there's a party of them that distort the word of Allah, the book of Allah, with their tongues, and they say, this is from the book of Allah, but it is not from the book of Allah. And they say it is from Allah Ta'ala, but it's not from Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا كُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. If we look at today, how have we resembled them in this fashion? How many people today have distorted the word of Allah Ta'ala by changing the attributes? For example, Allah Ta'ala has clearly mentioned in the Quran that He's got a hand. Others come and say, no, He hasn't got a hand. It means power, or it means might, or it means whatever, mercy. This is an example. Wallahi, this is changing the word of Allah Ta'ala in its essence. We as Muslims, the brothers and sisters, we must affirm to Allah Ta'ala whatever He has affirmed for Himself. Whatever He has affirmed for Himself without deleting, changing, misinterpreting, and without asking how. We say whatever Allah has put, we say we accept. And do not fall in the traps of the devil like those people have by changing, by asking how, by deleting, by playing with the word of the Almighty Lord. If He says Ar-Rahmanu al-Arsh istawa, we say Ar-Rahmanu al-Arsh istawa. We do not say Ar-Rahmanu al-Arsh istawa. Allah did not say that. He said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. We say, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. How? Allahu a'lam. We leave it at that. Another one of their actions that they did was the murdering of their prophets. وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَبَاءُ بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And they were covered with humiliation and misery. And they drew unto themselves the wrath of Allah. Why? Because they disbelieved. They disbelieved in His verses and they killed the prophets unjustly. One of the most horrific sins, the killing and slaughtering of their prophets. They killed a lot of their prophets, Yahya, Zachariah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and many others. Not only their prophets, they even attempted to assassinate whom? Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They told him one day to stay beside the building. While he was waiting for them, they climbed the roof with a big boulder to crush it over the Prophet's head sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala sent Jibril with the revelation telling him of their wicked scheme. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received their revelation, he just stood up without saying a word, left, and came back with an army. And this was the reason why Bani Nadir were exposed from Medina. Likewise, they claim after all this that they are the beloved of Allah and His children. It's mentioned in the books that three Jews came and sat with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited them to Islam. And while he's inviting to Islam, they said, and warning them about Allah's wrath, they said, what are you telling us this for? Why are you warning us about Allah's wrath? We are His beloved and His children. Do not scare us. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَ نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ قُلْ فَلِمَا يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ. The Jews and the Christians said, we are the children of Allah and the loved ones of His. So then why does He punish you for your sins? You are none but human from us, His creation. The Jews, dear creatures, they took Jibril alayhi salam as their sworn enemy. They did not enjoin good nor forbid evil. They challenged their prophet to show him Allah in this world. And they were indeed the most evil of people. We learn from these great verses and great hadith why Allah Ta'ala put His anger upon them. Not only do we learn from it, but we must understand it. We must take heed and try to keep far away from them. Because today in our time, in our society, they are surrounding us. They are trying to control us. They have summoned the nations against us. And this is nothing but a sign of the hour, as our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that the nations will summon each other against you. As those eating will summon each other to their dish. One of them said, O Prophet of Allah, will we be few on that day? He said, no, rather you will be a lot, plenty, like the foam of a stream. But Allah Ta'ala will take away from your enemies' hearts fear of you, and will place wahan, weakness, in your hearts. A man asked, O Rasulullah, what is this wahan? What is this weakness? He said, love of this dunya and hatred of death. Love of this dunya and hatred of death. We are a lot. Muslims worldwide are plenty. Bahrain is 100%. Mauritania is 100%. Oman is 100%. Qatar is 100%. Saudi is 100%. You got Libya 100%. The Western Sahara 100%. You got Somalia 100%. You got Yemen over 90%. Algeria over 90%. You got Sudan over 90%. Jordan over 90%. Morocco over 90%. Egypt over 90%. United Emirates over 90%. Bangladesh, Pakistan, Turkey over 90%. Gambia and Senegal over 90%. Niger and Chad over 90%. And a lot of other countries over 90%. Where are they? Just as our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied, that the nations have summoned each other against us. Whether they are communists, Zionists, Christians, the unbelievers, dear brothers and sisters, especially the Jews, they're on the top, have never ever ceased injecting, inducing in us poison in order to destroy this ummah. وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. Many of the people of the scripture wish that they could return us to disbelief after belief. Why? Out of envy from their own selves, after clear proof had become manifest to them. But our enemies, dear creatures, we must be very, very careful. Today they're not only focusing on military warfare, they are attacking the Muslims in a secret, subtle way, whereby the attacked does not perceive himself being attacked. He becomes a victim without even knowing. Look at the majority of Muslims, whereby they have been poisoned in their thoughts, in their actions, in their ways, in their living, in their dress, in their manner, in their sleep, in their eating, in everything. Loving what the enemy wants it to love, and hating what the enemy wants it to hate. And this form of attack takes by TV, media, publications, internet, vaccinations even is in this. Fashion, general education, secular curriculums and so forth. By these avenues, channels, they wish to deviate the Muslims in attaching them to what they want them to be attached. Look at the so-called coalition against the war, against terror. Coalition, mashallah, the whole world. The nations have summoned each other against us. The whole world have summoned each other against us. It's hadith. Have they not? You know, mashallah, Bush is traveling from country to country to country, signing treaties with his strongest enemy, Putin. He went to Germany. Likewise over there. People who would never ever look him in the face. And now they're signing. Why? Because they're one. They're one. All of them are summoning against us. Open your eyes and reflect. Open your eyes and reflect. We are in a time where the signs of the hour have become manifested, have appeared. Wallahi, what is left of the hour is basic. Because all the signs have appeared, the minor signs. Nothing is left except major. And as soon as one hits, they all follow each other. Thus the establishment of the hour. Do not think that you are living in a world that you're going to remain forever. Do not think you are living in a country which you are loved, which you are helped by. This is going to backlash on every single one of us. And Allah knows best when and how. Look at our sisters. How many of them have been attacked by this vicious attack, which is the secret, subtle way? How many of them are working with the other sex, whereby they are intermingling, they are joking, laughing, they even shake their hand of their boss or kiss their cheek? Isn't this an attack which has destroyed our Muslim sisters, our flowers, which we consider? And why is this? Why? What is this lady receiving on television or in the magazines or in the media? What's the propaganda that she is exposed to, that the Muslim women are oppressed? So when they see the fashion in the Western lady, naturally the lady is weak. So when she sees that, she thinks she's in a prison. She thinks that Islam is oppressing her. So she wants to liberate herself. She wants to free herself from this oppression. So beware, dear brothers and sisters. Look at the world how it is today. Look at all those radio stations that have been placed, all the television stations that are placed solely for broadcasting. What? Communism or Christianity. As one of them said, that Africa by the year 2000 will be beaming with Christianity. One of the devils said this. Beaming, mashallah, of Christianity. Wallahi, Allah proved him wrong. Beaming with Christianity. Look, if you've ever woken up after Fajr and you've opened your television, inshallah, none of us do it, but it happens. Once I opened it to a Christian program called, I knew what's on, I just wanted to see the garbage that's on it. I think it's called Benny Hillis? Benny Shaitan. And this guy is mad and crazy. He's got a big wig on, first of all. And then he puts his hand, I believe, that this person out there is such and such. Oh, he's cured. He's got a broken leg. And he just told him, you what? You understand what I'm trying to get to? You have to have seen this. And he just goes and touches people. He falls down. I wonder how much money he gives him after the show. He just falls down. Then he thinks himself as being a prophet who can heal in the name of Jesus. Alayhi ma yastahiqu min Allah, these devils. Wallahi, they're devils. But this is our situation that we are living in now. So brothers and sisters, be aware of the current affairs. Look around us, open your eyes and reflect and take heed. For indeed we are living in a time where it's just about to end. So before we leave this world, wake up to ourselves. Let us wake up to ourselves. Let us love Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam by implementing that which He commanded us and by abstaining from that which He warned us to keep away from. This is the way you can really love Allah Ta'ala, brothers and sisters. This is the only way you can really love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because loving Allah and His Messenger is not just by kissing the Quran and putting it on the shelf, or by celebrating the Prophet's birthday sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is not the way you love Allah. The way you love Allah Ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to give them priority in your life, to make Allahu Akbar in reality Allahu Akbar, Allah the greatest, not by just me speech but action. Wa akhra da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I will leave it now, inshallah.